The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastically, ferociously fabulous, even almost friendly Friday, as we transport via the Holy Spirit from the Father through the Son into the weekend. We go in because that's where His presence is, behind the veil. First up, have you considered that you are an inheritor? Most people only understand inheritance through a trust, and that would be true for me and you too. Next, take the red pill. No, take the blue pill. Well, certainly take the gospel pill, but sometimes believers only want dessert. Guess what? We also need to eat our Jesus veggies. Oh, there's a good line there. And finally, part two of how the prophecy of Zechariah works for us right now, without just the end time approach. Is there something else within the prophet's writing that can help us today? Again, we answer that question.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us by calling using the phone. I know it's complex, 10 numbers, but you can do it. 972-445-0770. If you call in, Terrific T will answer. She will be very nice to you. That's all you got to know right there. If you text in, that's a great way to reach us as well. 214-210-8483. And for those that are trying to send stuff to me via transporter, via Star Trek, by putting something in your microwave and turning it on 30 seconds, it's not working. Okay, that's all I'm going to tell you. So we do prayer requests, praise reports. We do pop questions. We do a few different things because we want to keep it lively. We also do trivia, one of the faves of everybody around. Here's our first trivia question for today. In what book of the Bible... In what book of the Bible and in what chapter? Oh, I've added that. In what book of the Bible and in what chapter do you find the original Ten Commandments? The original Ten Commandments. If you know the answer, reach out to us. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to tell you. I love Fridays, but the problem is I only have an hour, so I try and get so much stuff in. Don't forget our DNA, which has been modified. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. That's the D. And then the N, never be ashamed. And then the A, always be ready to serve. Okay? So those are our little modifications. Somebody's calling in on the trivia already. Here we go. Let's see. Ring, 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 ring. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on, man? Are you ready for the weekend?
Yeah. Yep. I say ready.
I got to tell you, I'm going to just be honest. My wife and I have been working kind of extra hard. So we've had two straight weeks, 14 days, where neither one of us got to sleep in past like 6:45. And it's like, you know what? I just want to sleep in. I know it's terrible, but I want an extra 2 hours.
No.
And every 2 weeks, I think I should get it.
I think you should too, because look at your schedule.
Yeah, it's nutty. I mean, it's nutty. We're doing 15-hour days. It's crazy. Anyhow, what book of the Bible, what's the chapter, do you find the original Ten Commandments?
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Exodus 20.
That is correct, sir! Good job! So it's a few different places within the scripture, but that's the place it originated. So that's an excellent point. Here's something just to chew on, because I always like giving people a little bit of a tidbit. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first three are between the person and God. The fourth one could be considered for the person, and the bottom six can be considered for other people. So you kind of have a three, a one, and a six, and if you kind of think it through, that's kind of a breakdown that you take the three and put that into the one, you put the six into the one, and that's why it's summarized into two commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You're a part of that. What do you think of that? That's pretty interesting, huh?
No, that's great. I mean, I like the way you devise stuff and put it together as the Holy Spirit leads you.
Yeah, that's it's awesome. It's fun, though, to think of stuff like that. I love that. So, excellent job, my brother. You are always fantastic. You are right on, you're spot on, and I am hoping you have an excellent weekend.
I will try. I got three funerals to attend tomorrow.
All right. I'm sorry for that, but if they know the Lord, they're doing better. That's the big key.
Yes. Yes.
All right, my brother. I will keep you in prayer as I pray for you every day.
Please. Thank you.
You got it.
And I pray for y'all.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Ronnie, stepping in and stepping up. That's the way you get it going. All right, that's the way we get things rolling around here. All right, let me get into this first teach. It's very interesting. You're going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. So I want you to take a deep breath with me and hang out with me just for a minute here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 through 17. Where a will exists, the death of the testator must be established. For a will is only valid when people die, since it is never enforced while the testator is living. All right, so I just want to explain a couple things and make it really kind of cool for you to understand. A testator is a person who writes a last will and testament, and it becomes effective upon death. That's when it becomes effective. And usually it takes place through some form of trust. That's the vehicle by which it happens, okay? So to give you an example, not that this is going to be much. Okay, let me just repeat that. Not that this is going to be much, but my kids have an inheritance, right? Okay, it's pretty small. Just tell you right now, don't give. It's pretty small. I'm just being honest, okay? But they're not getting it until I pass on, okay? And if I pass on, then if Noel passes on, then the kids get it, okay? So that's kind of how that works, okay? So here's something that you should be aware of. There is a will and a testament for us too, and guess what? It only applies when somebody passes, when somebody dies. Well, guess what the most amazing part is? Jesus is the testator of this covenant, of this agreement, of this will and testament. And watch this. And he died. So there is a benefit. Now, wait. There's nothing in any will or testament anywhere that talks about if they resurrect. So he died, so we get the benefits from when he died. But he also resurrected. So it's not like a sad thing. It's a cool thing because he died, so we get the benefits of his last will and testament. But he's also alive. And it's like, oh, wait, that's really cool. So it's kind of like we have the current inheritance and we still have Jesus with us. And it's like, wait. That's like the best of both worlds. Yes. See, Jesus died. That put the will that was created, that was only effective, the will and the testament from the Father through the Son, granted by the Holy Spirit, that put it in effect when he died. And the awesome thing is we have that full application to that. But then Jesus rose. And there's nothing in the will and the testament that says anything about resurrection. And so now Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. Plus, we have the inheritance. It's like, wait a second. Doesn't that sound kind of cool? Now watch this. It comes via a trust. Now watch this, okay? Because when you have a will and testament, usually the vehicle that it comes through is a trust. Watch this. You access your inheritance through trust. Oh, come on. Rip, rip, rip. Snap, snap, snap. Bang, bang, bang. Think about that. Because you trust in the Lord, then you have access to your inheritance. It comes through the vehicle of trust. Oh, come on. That's so cool. Isn't that, I just, like my brain just goes ding, 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 ding. And the reason that I think that that's really cool. Now, keep in mind as Christians that the fullness of our inheritance, it comes in eternity when we get into there. And many trusts, in case you're not aware of this, function where they give portions in different amounts at different ages and different times until there's a sense of maturity and so on and so forth. The completeness, the fullness, the 100%-ness of our inheritance, that's going to come when we step into eternity. But we get bits and pieces now. And it's like, that is so cool. What's even cooler is that the person who had to die in order for that structure to work is alive, but not until the inheritance went into effect. And it's like, wait a second. Jesus lives. We still get the benefit of the inheritance. There's more inheritance coming. And the resurrection, by the way, is kind of a glimpse into the future part of our inheritance, which is totally awesome. So we have a valid testimony, a valid testator who put the will into place that we get to receive, okay, because he died, Jesus died, but then he rose again. But we still have access to that inheritance. I mean, you cannot. I mean, what a way to start a Friday. And if you're listening on Saturday, what a way to start a Saturday. Okay? I'm just saying, just think about how cool that is. And now on top of that, because you and I are maybe not as wise in how we should approach our inheritance, which is, which certainly is true for many, 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 many people, in this case, we have somebody who will guide us, the Holy Spirit will guide us into the usage of that inheritance. It's like, what? You get like for an ever, forever counselor or forever attorney kind of walking by your side going this way, this way, this way, this way. All granted by the Father, who's the judge. It's like, wow. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? Just think about how gracious God is that he does all of that for us. Okay? Now, it's what's important to for you to grasp is that God has granted that to you. Nobody's going to take that from you. Nobody's going to pull that inheritance away. But that inheritance manifests as you reach certain points, certain places, just like in a trust. And just like in a trust when you get to 30 years of age and 35 years of age and 40 years of age. If you get to this point and this point and this point, well, that's how the Lord does it. Only he's not telling you what those points are. The great part about it, though, is all via a trust. And that trust, that vehicle, is trust. So cool. It's the vehicle of trust. I love it. All right. Now, you're going to get mad at me because we just did this super cheery one. And then the next two segments after this are not super cheery. Okay? But I still love you. So just think of it in those terms. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hunt.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hey, you know what I did think of after while we were on the break is for those of you that are out there listening, Ronnie did mention that he's going to be going to a funeral tomorrow. And that's a brother in the Lord who's got some heaviness on the heart. And, you know, you should take a moment to pray for him. Let me pray for him real quickly. Father, we just ask you to bless Ronnie and just give him a sense of peace and comfort as he's got to, it's the moment where our faith really meets the truth of what we believe in. And I just pray you'd give him encouragement and encouragement for the people that are at the funeral, that there is hope and there is life and there is redemption and there is salvation in Jesus Christ. We just pray you'd comfort his heart since you are a God of comfort and help him out in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, he didn't ask for that or anything like that. I just thought it'd be good to. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the right thing to do. That's what I want somebody to do for me. Okay, let's get into our next trivia question. For those that want to know, it's 214-210-8483 if you're going to text, 972-445-0770 if you are going to call in. This is a creation question. Uh-oh, a creation question. On what day of creation, what day were the sun, the moon, and the stars created? See, in the beginning, God, but then there's an order to how things were created. What day did that happen? All right, while you're thinking about that, keep in mind our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Many important things on there, not the least of which is your opportunity to give. Hint, hint, hint. Push, push, push. I can do a magic trick for you because I can make a quarter disappear, but that's usually when I put it in a gumball machine and then get some kind of piece of gum for it. Okay. Do you have somebody calling back in? Okay. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Thank you.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. All right. So this is a kind of an interesting question because we're talking about when the sun and the moon and the stars were created. Do you remember what day of creation that took place?
Was it day two?
No, it wasn't day two. I want you to keep going with me, though. Real important because this day actually came after certain things went on the earth. So I want you to try again, but I want you to think. Wouldn't be day three, but what would be coming up after that?
Four.
That's right. There it is. Ding, ding, ding.
I need to read the Bible again.
Now, that's actually really hard to remember because you would think in the normal process of things, you'd have God doing like, you know, the whole thing starts off, and then you think light from darkness, and then you would think, okay, so now you got the sun and the moon and the stars. It's funny because in Bible college, I had a professor from a New York Museum talk about the fact that there was elements of vegetation prior to the sun, which really flies in the face of evolution, which is like, because there was no sun, how could you have anything grow? And it's like, that's a great witness in and of itself. So check it out. Genesis 1, 14 through 19 is kind of the text. But great job. And I'm glad you did it anyway, because you weren't sure, but you were willing to take the risk. And that's what's important. Excellent job.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. See, we know. We want you to get there, right? I mean, we try to help you get there. Okay. All right. Before I get into this other teaching that people are going to go, thanks a lot, Dave. Let's do a little bit of history. See, I'm softening it. Thank you. Today is Race Your Mouse Day, referring to the computer mouse that you have. Now, I have not yet figured out, and I can ask T, how do you race them? But what do you do? Take your, like, you rev it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know this either.
And I don't think if you put a piece of cheese in front of the mouse, it's going to go any faster because it's a computer mouse.
I thought you were referring to, like, Tom and Jerry race the mouse.
See, that would have made sense.
Right?
All right. Okay. Today is Radio Commercials Day. Now, I will say, I'm going to toot my, so I did do a commercial that won an award. You guys have never heard it. It had to do with a roofer, and it had to do with Noah, and he finished the roof, and then he turns, and God goes, "You call that a roof?" Yeah, that's but you know, commercials can be fun. I just don't remember all the, you know, I really don't like dark commercials, especially when I'm eating like dinner and if I'm watching TV. I don't like dark shows when I'm eating a hamburger or a chicken and they're showing death and mayhem. It's like, that doesn't work for me. Just to let you know, today is Forgive Your Foe Friday. I don't know what that is. I understand the forgiveness part. We'll just go with you should be forgiving people no matter what. It's the best therapy in the world because you let go of things. And that's why it's important to do that. But it's much more important to understand that it's commanded. Okay? You know, people say, well, why should I do it? Well, because one day God's going to ask you, did you do what I told you to? And you're going to have to answer. That's why. And then finally, I don't know what this means at all. It's Crackers Over the Keyboard Day. Okay? I don't even know what that means, and I don't want to know what that means. On this day in 1897, the first horse to run a 2-minute mile took place. Star Pointer, a horse of Tennessee-bred light harness stallion, ran 1 minute 59 seconds and 59.25 seconds in a Maryland track. That's kind of an interesting thing. On this day in 1963, Martin Luther King gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, where character is supposed to count. Character, okay? Character is in a person's, you know, character. We're so far out. It's like if he was alive today, I just feel he'd be like, what? That would be like, what? You guys aren't even, not even close, you know? But all right. And then here's the last thing, and I found this to be an absolutely weird thing. The Brannick device. Probably never heard of this. But you know when you go and you get shoes and they have you step in that thing? That's called a Brannick device. It's a shoe measuring device. It was invented back by Charles Brannick in 1928.
You know, I never thought that had a name. I thought it would just be like shoe measurement or shoe measurer.
The shoe measurer. I probably made a fortune, you know, if you think about it. All right, let's do this one. And don't get mad at me. I'm just pointing it out. This is a little bit of a bitter pill to swallow for some believers. And if you don't like bitter pills, probably stay away from the Book of Ruth. Because there's a lot. I mean, she changed her name to Bitter Waters, Bitterness. It's like, yeah, you want to think about that. 1 Samuel 2:7 happened to be in my devotions today, which I find always ironic because I'm teaching on it. The Lord, according to when Hannah was praying, she said, the Lord sends poverty and wealth. In this message that she gave, in this prayer that she prayed, she talked about life and death. She talked about plus and minus. She talked about up and down. She talked about poverty and wealth. And the reason that she did that was to show that ultimately, sovereignty belongs to God. And there are times in your life where God will bless you wonderfully, and there are times where the Lord pulls it back. And he has his reason, and we have this requirement to trust him. in Jewish, we're supposed to accept God, accept both one way or another, and praise God no matter what takes place. Job 2, 9 through 10, his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. It's important to understand that there are seasons you go through that have a lot of fire in them. And you think, well, why do those fiery seasons happen? Because the Lord is not just testing you so you can know what you're made of. He's purifying you. Because if he did nothing, the world influence would be so powerful against you, it would quench anything the Holy Spirit's trying to direct you in. And, you know, we always talk about Job. I always wonder, nobody really thought about the wife. That was a bummer for her, right? But what was the sin that was going on that's taking place in that situation? It was the complaining. It's like you complain. And by the way, Job did complain, chapters 3 through 31. Or 32, no, 31. And so the idea is to understand that God allows different seasons in our life for different reasons and different purposes. And in case you're trying to figure out, well, is that really, that's two verses you gave us, 1 Samuel 2:7 and Job 2, 9 and 10. Okay, here's another one. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing will come after him." In other words, you and I, we always want everything just to be, you know, pretty positive. And I understand that. I do too. Don't mess up. But there are times where the Lord has to bring me through tough seasons. Before the children of Israel got to the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness. And you think, well, I don't like that. Yeah, well, can tell God. But don't complain, because all complaining does is extend the issue. It's like the dumbest thing you could ever do. I don't like, you know, somebody had once said, a preacher, complaining people live the longest, but because they're so miserable. It's like, wow. So whatever's going on in your life, I got it. I mean, I get it. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes the Lord sends you a good season. By the way, never go through a good season in the Lord and then sit there and go, oh, when's the other shoe going to drop? I mean, that's terrible. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. God doesn't bring sorrow alongside the season of blessing. He blesses you. And you can rejoice in that. That's what the scripture says. Be joyful. But if something's going on, or it's tough or it's hard, consider. Say, okay, here I am, Lord. And always be aware, because there's nothing that's happening to you that God is not aware of. There is not one thing physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, financially, in any capacity, there is nothing that is going on in your life that God is unaware of. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to bring everything to him, good, bad, or indifferent, because that's the way that a relationship works, at least one that's healthy. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false,
you know,
but it feels...
That needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know...
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I haven't heard that piece in a long time. It's actually really, really good. I need to redo it, but it's really, really important to understand that levity. Some people are like, oh, you can't use levity. It's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? You can't. I mean, it's just almost like unbelievable. Like Paul, when he was talking to the people, said, hey, I wasn't kidding around when I was telling you I was going to meet with you. But then again, when he talks about preaching the gospel, he calls it silly. It's like, I should fit right in then, right? I mean, I'm like a match made in heaven with that. All right. Okay. Silly. All right. I'll let it go. I'm going to let it go because this other thing I have to teach on is so much worse. Okay. You can call in or you can text on this next trivia question. Here it is. Let's see if you know what it is. What were the names of the two spies who spied in the land of Canaan and gave a good report? Okay. So there were 12 spies that were sent out. 10 of them gave a terrible report. 2 of them gave a good report. This is in the book of Numbers, in case you're wondering. What were the name of the 2 spies that gave a good or favorable report when they had spied out the land? If you know the answer, you can call in or you can text. Either way will work for us. Please don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget about the website. We ask you, we encourage you, if you're able to give, give. If you can't give, pray. I mean, just pray for us. Oh, we got somebody calling in already on that? Wow. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. David. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you for your prayers.
You got it. How's that going? How's that thing going for you?
Well, the spot of my nose is still there, so can't get rid of that, but just keep praying for me. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll keep praying. You know, I mean, the power of prayer is enough to change a world, so we think it could change a body too, right?
And one prayer by faith should be enough prayer for healing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love you, brother. All right, my friend.
I love you too.
All right, here you go. Now, this is a good one because a lot of people don't recognize that there were 2 good reports, because most people listen to the bad reports, which is something that typically Christians still do. But anyway,
so,
what were the name of the 2 spies who spied in the land of Canaan but gave a favorable report?
Joshua and Caleb.
That is correct. That is right, my friend. Now, I just have a feeling you knew that right away, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I think the recall of the Holy Spirit of truth is my friend and brings me to memory the things that he taught me years ago or whatever. You know, it's always good to recall of the Spirit. Yeah.
That's good. And what a great thing to remember if you consider these 2 guys, they gave a great report and said, we can do this. And it's like, because of that, Caleb, not, I mean, Joshua being the leader of the people, he had his own thing, but, you know, Caleb got royally blessed for believing God.
Amen.
So that's an awesome element. All right, my brother, yeah. Excellent job. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I will not fail to pray for you.
You too. And may the Spirit of Peace be upon you.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
God bless. All right. So we've had three trivia questions, and we've had three phone calls. You like that, huh? That's good. T, really active. Rock. Okay, I love you. You guys are great. Everything's fantastic. This is why I'm considering not staying in various social circles. Here we go. Can I say this without everybody being insulted? Social media is stupid. I'm just so sick. It's
addictingly stupid.
It's addictingly stupid. And then there's so many stupid things. And I don't know one person who's ever changed their mind ever because of something that somebody put on social media. So it just seems like it's a place for people to dump and so on and so forth. So this came out. This was a survey. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe the fullness of this survey because I'm one of those people that go, who paid for it? The first question I ask anytime somebody goes, there's a survey, who paid for it? What are they trying to accomplish? Why did they use the headline they used? Because most of the time headlines are used just to get attention. So when I was in eighth grade, I've told you this story, or seventh grade at West Hills Junior High School on 17 and Middle Belt in Lone Pine area in West Bloomfield, Michigan. I was walking down the hallway right by the library and the big sign, now I'm seventh grade, so leave me alone here. And the big sign said, sex. And then it says, okay, now that I have your attention, please vote for. Because that's the truth. That's what happens. People go, what? And you know, you respond to it. So this came out. This was in my little PhD group, and I'm already thinking, I don't know if I can make it without saying much. But the latest study came out from Lifeway Research, which, by the way, I like Lifeway. They do the Logos Bible thing. One-third of evangelicals believe that Jesus was a good teacher, but not God. Okay? They believe he was a good teacher, but not God. Let me tell you a couple things that will really help you understand this. Number one, there are fully 30-plus verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that identify Jesus as God, of which 18 are self-proclamation. Okay, wait, just hold on. There's so much to do. Number two, there's well over 100 verses that demonstrate that Jesus is God in the Old and New Testament. Number three, you can't be a mediator for God and for man if you're not God and man. You can't represent God to man if you're not God. You can't represent man to God if you're not. It doesn't work. I mean, it's like saying, well, here's a cat and here's a dog and the zebra is going to mediate. It's like, you got to have a cog, a cat and a dog. It's a cog. Oh, you guys don't know that joke. All right. Anyway, the point is you can't have that happen. So one-third of evangelicals believe that he was a good teacher. My mom and I had this discussion. I once asked her, Mom, what do you think of the good of Jesus Christ? She said he was a good moral teacher. I said, well, the moral teacher taught he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that he was equal with God. I said, and that he was the way and the truth and the life. So the moral teacher wouldn't lie, right? That's when we started having other conversations going the other direction. Let me read you a text and let me help you out. I don't really believe one-third of evangelicals don't think that Jesus was God. I think that is a fundamental scripture, but I'm going to give you something that you've perhaps not heard. This might really help. This is in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat and crossed over and came into his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Now, the reason that they would say he's blaspheming is because why? Because only God can forgive sin, watch this, from a third party. In other words, this guy, this paralytic, he didn't offend Jesus. Jesus didn't have any offense to him. Jesus didn't know him. But Jesus was pardoning his sin, third party. Only God can do that. That's the whole point of why they said it's blasphemy. Jesus says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and walk. But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Not sins against him, sins of people anywhere. You know who has that authority? God. Okay. And then he said to the paralytic, you get up, take up your mat, and walk. And the man got up, went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God and gave who had given such authority. And so here's what people miss. Jesus forgave the sin of a third-party situation. Only God can do that. You can't go between two people that are they're having an issue and say, hey, absolve you guys. I'm in the absolving mood. Yeah, I just absolve you, and I extend forgiveness to you on God's behalf, because you only do that if you're God. And so this whole idea that Jesus wasn't God is flies in the face of all Scripture. And you think, well, was that important? Yes. It is really important. Actually, it's a fundamental Scripture. It's one of the essentials. Because there's no redemptive work if Jesus cannot bridge the gap between God and mankind. And so it's crucial to understand that it is only under his name, given by heaven, whereby men can be saved. You can't be saved by your good works. That's not going to happen. You're going to get up before heaven. You're going to have, I don't care if you have 100,000 good works, you'll have 300,000 sins. It'll never happen. And you're not going to get there by your good looks, and you're not going to get there by your cute personality. You're not going to get there by your bank account. The only thing worthy to cover your sin and to make you redemptive quality ready to engage with God close up and face to face is Jesus Christ and your faith in his redeeming work. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God shows his love to us while we're still sinners. Christ died for us. And if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life, do so right now. Here's the really big complex prayer you got to pray. Jesus, come into my life. Okay, that's it. You keep thinking you got to, I know you're going to be sorry. I know you're sorry for your sins. You know that, okay? It's not that you have to stay. You have to come before the Lord. Say, look, here I am. I need you to save me. Come into my life. Who's not sorry for their sins? Only the righteous and those that are about to be righteous. And that righteousness only comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need him to get in the door. Don't you be one of those one-third of evangelicals. I'd be pretty mad. Don't do it. All right, last segment, be a lot of fun. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are you going to rename the cereal Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Sometimes welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com to get some of our music for free. I'm just letting you know that. You can do that. Yes, that's our relatives. No, they don't pay us for that or anything like that. And then a lot of the music you listen to is my brother. You probably don't even know that. That guy that's doing the Hungry Giant and all that other stuff, that's Billy. That's my brother.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense why. I think it says, I think some of them say Billy's music.
Yeah. He's got some really good music. He's kind of a nutball, but, you know, he's my brother, so I get to.
It's catchy.
He's a great writer, great musician, great ministry. He's still a nutball, but that's besides the point. I have a very unique family. I love my family, but my brother's in Arizona, my sister's in California. All right, so let's get to the next. That's right, people. Come on. You can laugh a little. It's okay. Smile. I will say I am not a convention person. I don't know if you're or there's not, but they had a convention like last week for the Democrats and then the convention for the Republicans this week. There's only one line I heard there's only one thing I would repeat out of all of that. I'm not pro-life. I'm pro-eternal life. That line, people, there you go. I mean, that's a great, okay, come on. I mean, that's a good bumper sticker. I'm not pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life. I love it. All right, let's get into the next trivia question. Next trivia question. You know you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. By the way, we've had 3 phone calls on 3 trivias. You never know if we'll get a 4th phone call. I just don't know. Paul and Barnabas had an argument over a certain man traveling with them on their missionary journey. What was the man's name? Okay. Now, in fairness, he has 2 first names. So either one will work or both. You can call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Please don't forget our precious little website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so don't forget that that's a place where you can give. But again, if you can't give, you can pray. And we would ask you to do that if the show's been a blessing for you. We always need that. Telephone. I'm going to go. It's not a pizza. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, I had a feeling you were going to call back. I don't know if you had a chance to hear, but we prayed for you. So, I mean, I just want
I need it. I'm in the car.
Oh.
Traffic is backed up on 35, so I had a chance to call you.
Okay. When is traffic not backed up on 35 on a Friday? I don't know. It's like you live out there. All right. Well, my friend, so we had Paul and Barnabas. They got into a sharp argument. There's some commentators that really went down the wrong road on this and thought this person was bad, this person was bad. But really, it was just the gospel going in two other directions when he was done. But who were they fighting over?
Martin Luther.
Okay, say that again.
Mark.
Yes. So it was John Mark. That is correct.
Yeah, John Mark.
I said
Martin Luther. Oh, my bad. I'm thinking about the monk.
Yeah. So here's what's cool about the whole John Mark thing. Let me just say, this is just an awesome thought. So he did kind of abandon. That is true. Barnabas kind of stuck with him. At the end of Paul's ministry, Paul had him come back, so there was reconciliation. But that's the dude that wrote the Gospel Mark, which led millions of people to Christ. So it's like, that was pretty good. That's a pretty good comeback story.
Amen.
Amen. Excellent job, Ronnie. We got you in prayer. Let us know how you're doing next week, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless you too, bro.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, 4 for 4 on that. That's good. I'm glad we got the calls in. Yay! All right, let me get into this. We talked about this. It's Friday, right? Wow. I actually lost my day right there. Wow. Okay. I don't want to talk about age. We talked about this whole thing with Zechariah and how you can also, it's not just prophetic, it is prophetic, and there is an eschatological component, which means end time stuff. Eschatology, just a fancy word for end. End stuff, end times, last things. I don't care what you want to call it. But the bottom line is a lot of the books, Daniel, for example, Zechariah, Revelation, certainly, and many others have an inclination, Ezekiel, have an inclination towards the end times. But what happens is people get so focused on the end times, they forget that there's a present application. So we talk about that under the auspices of DAP, Dynamic Application Principle, DAP. It's a terrible word, but you should still remember it. Here I want to do a DAP, Dynamic Application Principle, for Zechariah chapter 8, the last part of this chapter, without getting into the eschatology. Here's what it says. Once more, I will make the remnant in Judah and Israel the heirs, and Israel the heirs of these blessings. Among the nations, Judah and Israel had become symbols of what it meant to be cursed. Ooh. Now I will rescue you and make you both a symbol and a source of blessing. So don't be afraid or discouraged, but instead get on with rebuilding the temple. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. I did not change my mind when your ancestors angered me, and I promised to punish them, says the Lord. Neither will I change my decision to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. So don't be afraid. So this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace, and do not make evil plots to harm each other, and stop this habit of swearing to things that are false. I hate all these things, says the Lord. Let me just say something real here. There's all these politicians, all these people, well, there's no hate in God. Okay, look at that. I hate all these things, says the Lord. Okay, look, I can read. I hate all... Okay, so I wish people would stop doing stuff like that. Here's another message that came to me from the Lord. This is the very next verse. This is what the Lord says. The traditional feasts and times of mourning you have kept in the early summer, midsummer, autumn, and winter are now ended. They will become festivals of joy and celebration for the people of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. This is just such a wonderful portion. First of all, Israel was a symbol of yuck because they had done wrong. God said, I'm going to not only make you a symbol, I'm going to make you a source of blessing. You might have had, even in your own testimony, you might have had, it's a tough time. Boy, he's going through a tough time. But right after this tough time, God's not just going to make you a symbol of blessing. He's going to make you a source. In other words, people can be blessed through you, not just by observing you, but by you yourself. The Lord will use you to bless them. It's just a change of position from cursing to blessing. And then he says this, watch this. He goes, I didn't change my word when I disciplined you. I'm not going to change my word when I'm going to bless you. And the Lord didn't. He disciplined Israel. That's exactly what he did. He cast them out. He goes, okay, well, I didn't change my mind then, and I fulfilled it, and now I'm telling you I'm going to bless you. I'm not going to change my mind on that. And it's just awesome. God's like going, you know, look, I do what I say. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to change things. I'm going to change things up for you. And then the Lord says, you know what? Stop being, just stop lying to one another, being fake, doing this, saying this. Just be real. Be yourself. But then he does this last thing. It's the coolest thing to go into the weekend with. He goes, you know, you had all these times of mourning and you were depressed. Not mourning as in the morning hours. Mourning as in being depressed and discouraged and down under. He's like, you had all these times, all these discouraging times. And you had them at all the seasons, in summer, midsummer, winter, autumn. Well, that's over. He says, they're going to become festivals of joy. This is how God takes something that is troubling, hurtful, painful, and turns it into a blessing. And if you will remember, the children of Israel, there was an attempt to try and curse them. And God changed the curse into a blessing. And you've got an enemy. It's not just the worldly. You have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, and he wants to do anything to disrupt you. And he's trying to throw things at you and put you in deep water and let the mud stick to your feet so you can't walk. God's going to change all of that into a blessing. And you think, well, you know, yeah, that's true at the end. No, no, it's true now, too. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I mean, the Lord loves to bless his people. Yeah, he'll put you through it. I mean, just be honest. It's so much better to be honest. He'll put you through it, but he'll get you through it. And you'll be more like Jesus by the time you are through it. And then you'll be blessed. You know, it's really tough when you think about all that Jesus went through, but just think about what Jesus came into when he resurrected. He went through all that stuff, but then he came out the other end, and he's in charge of all authority in heaven and earth, and he's the big dude in charge. It's like, oh, he went from, yeah, dude on a cross to dude on a throne. That's pretty good. The Lord will change your cursing and your time of mourning into a blessing. Why? Because that is who he is. And if you don't know him, you need to know him. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.